You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I believe God's going to have a word for you tonight. I do believe that. And so I've been in ministry now for 30 years. So I've been at this a long time. I've just been traveling a lot, and I'm a little raw right now because of the shooting that took place in Las Vegas. So, you know, when you have people shot in your church, and you have a city that's traumatized, and you're dealing with life and death, it kind of wakens you up a little bit, not knowing that people in my church that Sunday morning were going to be running for their lives that Sunday night. And so, you know, with my city under siege for the last 2 weeks, it's gotten better the last week. And our staff literally working around the clock and just coming out of our church conference last week and me traveling a lot. I really felt like I needed to be here. And even though I had to cancel some events because of the shooting, I canceled a major conference because of the shooting, and the pastor said, well, you sure you can't come one night? I said, bro, I can't come. Well, double the honorarium. I said, I think I can make it. I think I could show up. No, he didn't say that. Just joking. Not really, but yes. So I want to just read you some scripture, and then we're going to get right into the text today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7, do we got it on the screen? Do we put it on the screens, or what do we do, Jesse? Okay, here it is, yeah. So just a few easy scriptures tonight, and then we're going to get into it. It says, for we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Say it with me. We walk by faith. Say, we walk by faith, and not by? Sight. Say a little bit louder. Ready? 1, 2, 3. We walk by faith and not by? Sight. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, walk by faith. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor. It looks like you're walking by sight. No, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. Hebrews 11:6 will be the next scripture, and we're going to dive right into the text. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek. Another translation says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for they that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. Come on, our God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those, come on, who diligently seek him. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, at Eternity Church, Lord. I just thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you, you have placed Pastor Jesse here and his awesome wife and his family here. Thank you, Lord God, for all the team that's here, all the pastors and leaders, dream teamers, volunteers. Thank you, Lord God, that this city, Lord God, is being impacted. But, Lord, the best is yet to come through this church for this city. Lord, I just thank you right now, Lord. I could even begin to prophesy and speak, Lord God, what you've stirred in my heart. And, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to preach as if it's somebody's last, Lord God, Saturday night. I don't know, Lord. I pray that you give me grace. Give them grace, Lord God, to just understand kind of my journey, Lord. I thank you. You brought me to the heartland of America, the Midwest. And I thank you, Lord God, for Iowa. I thank you, Lord God, for this great state and this great city. I thank you, Lord God, that you love Iowa State. In Jesus' name, everybody said, come on, somebody help me preach now. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Just appreciate that. So I want to speak to you briefly, you're going to give me a countdown clock because I intend to preach too long or so, however you do it here, I don't know. I was preaching at a conference last night, and the pastor said 35 minutes. Actually, it said 40 minutes, and then he said, you know, I think he gave me 20 minutes, response time. The Holy Spirit hit the place 2 hours later. It was just what do you do when people start screaming, they get healed, and prophetic words start happening, and people get saved, I could mark it on my watch here, so I don't want to go over time. And the way you could make this experience better, since it's the beginning, this is the first Saturday night, is the more you say amen, the better I preach. In fact, the more you say amen, I not only preach better, I preach shorter. Come on, that should have get. I should have got a oh man, oh yeah, hallelujah, praise God on that one, right? And so I'm gonna do my best to speak what God's put on my heart, and may give some words to people, and pray for the sick, and see some people get healed, and just believe God for something than just a normal, come on, Saturday night. Let me tell you my schedule, so you know that I'm not here just to have church. I'm here to have an encounter. It's a big difference. So on Tuesday, I flew to Memphis, where's that in? Tennessee? Yeah. I was in Memphis on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, I was in Memphis. Then I flew out of Memphis on Wednesday. I flew to Chicago to see the Chicago Cubs and the Dodgers. I'm an LA Dodger fan. If you're a Cub fan, see you next year, baby. That's all I got to tell you. Yeah, don't hate. Don't hate. Don't hate. Don't hate. I don't like the front row after all. I liked it. I just, especially you right there, I don't like that. I'm sensing something from you in Jesus' name. So then I flew all the way from Chicago on Thursday, flew all the way to Southern California so I could watch the game with my dad, who's not doing good with his health. So he's been 70 years, and so I wanted to, so my family was there. We saw the Dodgers, come on, bring it home. Amen, World Series. And then I had one day, which was Friday, but then I spoke last night at a conference, and it was an awesome conference. And then I had to get up at 4:30 this morning to catch a plane to get to Des Moines, Iowa. And I just believe that God has something awesome for your life and for my life here. And I already like you, regardless if you like me or not, so it's okay. Sometimes love is one way. Come on, that's how it starts. At least that's how it started with my wife. Come on, then I won her over. Amen. I want to talk to you very briefly. You're taking notes on the topic. Write this down. Trusting in what you don't see. Trusting in what you don't see. The Bible says that everything that we see came out of the things that we do not see. It says that literally that God called those things out of eternity, and he called them into the natural. The Bible says that things that we see came out of things that are unseen. So what's really real isn't what we can see, touch, and feel, but what is really real is that which is part of eternity. It's part of the Spirit. It's part of God himself. And that's the way God operates. God operates differently than you and me operate. Okay, so we have to see it, right? We have to see it. We have to see it to grasp it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then we put up, you know, brochures, and we put up pictures of what the new auditorium is going to look like. I think that's awesome. And I love your kingdom expansion, and God's going to do incredible things for you. And this church, let me tell you something, that's just the beginning of your expansion. Okay? So I'm a visionary. Our church has been going. Our church is booming right now. It's incredible when you see 121 people get saved in one weekend. It's an amazing thing that revival is breaking out in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm happy for all that. But the way that God operates is different than how we operate, because we have to operate by our senses, by what we see, feel, touch, and taste. People say this, I won't believe it until I see it. But the problem with that is you will never see it until you first believe it. Because in the kingdom, in the Spirit, watch me now, you have to believe and then you see. In the world, you see and then you believe. That's why you have to understand something, that we got to begin to trust, come on, in what I don't see. That the way God operates is different than the way me and you operate. And so we read in the text, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by what we feel. We walk by faith and not by sight. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be people that walk by faith and not by sight? First, let me define what faith is. Faith is, and I could preach a whole message on faith, and Pastor Jesse has probably preached a message on faith, and he's a great preacher, by the way. And so you have a great preacher, come on, that preaches every weekend. He's an amazing preacher. But I'm a simple guy, right? And I do have a degree. I have a BA degree, born again. Come on, help me now. Old preachers, right? I also have a PhD, preaching, healing, deliverance. Yeah, you know that one, yeah. That's all low. But I actually do have an earned bachelor's degree, okay? And I have a degree. My major is religion and my minor is business. So I went to business school, and I'll tell you that story as I'm preaching. But really, if you were to define faith simply for me is trusting in God. Faith is simply that I trust God over what I see. And so the Bible says that we're walking by, watch, trusting in God. We are people who walk by faith, putting our trust in a God who we cannot see. Come on, over things that we can see. Our everyday actions are tied, Eternity Church, to a God who we believe is directing our steps. Listen to me. I don't believe in karma. I live in the Pacific Northwest. I'm not hugging trees and trying to get a universal vibration flowing through the trees. I don't believe the universe is guiding me. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in fate. As a follower of Jesus, I actually believe that the steps of a good man, a good woman, are ordered by the Lord. Listen to me. I'm not here by accident. You're not here in the very first Saturday night by accident. You're not sitting where you're sitting by accident, sitting next to who you're sitting next to by accident. And it's no accident that I'm preaching the very first Saturday night at Eternity Church. There is no accidents. I believe that God is ordering my steps. I believe God is ordering your path. I believe that as we trust the Lord, the Bible says that we don't lean on understanding, but we trust Him in all our ways. He's going to make our paths come on straight. So I actually have this faith and this trust in a God that I cannot see over things that I can see. I do believe that no matter what is happening in my city, Las Vegas, Nevada, that watch me, only God could do some things. Listen to what I mean by that. Anybody could bring good out of good, but only God could bring good out of bad. I don't know. People ask me, why? Why did it happen? Why did it happen? Don't come running up to me. Why did it happen? Why did the shooting happen? I did a whole message on it. You can go and listen to my podcast. Shameless plug. You can listen to my, or look at me on social media at Benny Perez. Shameless plug, okay? But watch me. We want to know the why of something, but just because you have the why doesn't mean it's going to bring comfort to your life. See, just because I have the why of why somebody died doesn't mean the pain and the suffering will go away. You see, answers don't bring comfort. The presence of God brings comfort. I like to see it this way. I'd rather walk with Jesus with no answers than have answers with no Jesus. So I have this trust, this implicit trust in a God that I cannot see. And I believe that our everyday actions, God is the one who's directing our steps. Notice we don't believe by faith, but rather we walk by faith. In other words, we have gone beyond just believing, Eternity Church, rather just believing, but we are moving in action. Walking is forward motion, heading towards a specific direction. And sometimes you have to begin to walk without full knowledge of where you're going. Here's what we like. We like God to show up, tell us everything that's coming. And God, why don't you show me everything, and then I'll start walking. Because that's the way you've been raised. That's the way I've been raised. Where are we going to go? Nobody just jumps on the highway saying, don't know. I mean, you don't plan a vacation. Okay, baby doll, let's get ready. Come on, kids, let's get ready. Just pack. Where are we going? Don't know. Just going to get in the car and start driving. We are created to have this destination mentality, and we want to get somewhere, but that's not the way God operates. God operates differently, and sometimes you have to begin to walk out where you are before you know where you're going. There's a guy named Abram, and Abram is the father of faith. He's in the Bible. And in Genesis chapter 12, Abram has this encounter with God, and God comes to Abram, and he begins to speak to Abram, and he begins to say, Abram, what I want you to do is I want you to leave your family, and I want you to take your household, and I want you, watch me, to leave, and as you go, Genesis 12:1, he says, I will show you where you are going. See, you have to begin to go, and then I will show. But what we like is show, then I'll go. So let's just deal with this for a second here. Imagine now, since I'm in Des Moines, I got to make it relatable to here, okay? So all of a sudden you come home and you say to your wife, make up a name, Susie. Susie, we're leaving Des Moines. Where are we going? Don't know. Just pack it up. Like, okay, Benny, honestly, were you on the sun too long? I mean, what's going on with you? I mean, I just can't pack up everything and just leave. And because I like Des Moines. I like it here. I mean, cost of living is really good. And finally, we got some nice places they're building. It's really cool. And, you know, 20 years ago, there's nothing to do, but now there's something to do. Come on now. Don't be mad at me. In case you don't know, Des Moines is not a vacation destination. I'm just telling you. And so you imagine, see, what we do is we take out the humanity out of the Bible and we make these guys robots and we make these women robots as if they didn't have emotion and feeling, but they had emotion and feeling just like me and you. And so Abraham, now watch, who comes from a pagan family. He does not come from a Christian family. And this man now has this encounter with this God he really doesn't really know. And he says, Abraham, I want you to leave everything that you know, your father's household, and as you go, I will show you where you're going to go. He comes back to Sarai, and he tells her that, and Sarah says, okay, all right, here we go. And a lot of us would be like, okay, God, but wait a second, it's kind of out there, Lord. If I was Sarah, I would say, Sarah, ask, you know, Sarah should say, hey, can we ask Siri? Come on, can we Google Map it? Can we do Samsung, don't burn up in my hand? Come on, phone, right? But what happens is that Abram now begins to walk out, and as he went, the Bible says that God began to show him where he would go. Remember, if you can feel God and see God all the time, then you don't need faith. Faith says, thank you, Lord, I'm preaching the right message. The Lord just said, listen to the brown, good-looking man. And the good looking wasn't a joke. Amen. Faith says, I believe despite of what I feel or what I don't feel. Let me go here for a second. Well, people say, well, I don't feel it. I don't feel anything. I'm only going to worship when I feel something. Okay, I hate it when pastor gives, come on, folks, raise up your hands. I don't feel like raising my hands, pastor. I've had a hell of a week. Oh, excuse me. I've had a bad week. I'm in the Midwest. Okay, bad week. It's not Vegas, okay? And so what we do is we are so driven by our feelings. How many has ever felt like you didn't want to go to work? Raise your hand. Pastor, I'm sorry. All your staff is raising their hand. I don't know how to figure that out. How many, when you were younger, you didn't feel like going to school? Okay? Okay, some people are not raising their hand for nothing. And what you did is you say, I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it. Because I don't feel like it, but I know it's the right thing to do. I come from Los Angeles, California, and even Las Vegas occasionally has some bad traffic. And when people cut me off on the freeway, you know what I feel like doing? A spirit possesses my right foot, and I start speeding up. And my wife says, what are you doing? I go, I just want to catch up just to wave at the guy. There's a lot of things I feel like doing that I don't do. And there's a lot of things that I should do that I don't do because I don't feel like it. But we have to understand that we're men and women and we can't walk by what we feel. See, I've learned this in my life. Most of the time, when I come into a worship service, watch, I don't really feel anything, and I begin to worship by faith. And as I begin to worship by faith, as I begin to go after God, come on, by faith, all of a sudden something begins to happen in my life. Let me let you in a secret, is that there's a lot of times I don't even feel like preaching. I've rolled over in bed, told my wife, on a Sunday, we have 5 services I preach at. 1 Saturday, 4 Sunday mornings. And there are some days, some weekends when I go, Wendy, I don't feel like preaching. She goes, you have to because you are preaching tonight. There are times when I don't feel like it. And most of the times when I don't feel like it and I'm like, God, I don't feel nothing. I'm not sensing nothing. I'm not hearing nothing. I got to lean into you. And when I lean into God, some of my best messages have come out because I didn't feel like doing it. But we cannot wait, come on, until we feel it or see it. We got to start stepping out in faith. Come on, clap your hands, Iowa. So the Bible says, watch, as Abraham began to go, God began to show him where he would go. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I know God is stirring somebody's heart. I know God is speaking to somebody right now. I know God is saying, maybe start a business, maybe do this or do that. And you wonder, God, just show me everything, God. Show me everything, then I'll begin to go. But if he did that, you wouldn't need him. You only need God when you get into God territory. You see, some of us are praying prayers that you know that they're going to be answered a certain way. If you're praying a prayer that you know how it's going to be answered, then you're not praying a God-sized prayer. You need to pray prayers and believe for things that there is absolutely no way it could take place unless God showed up in your life and began to do something supernatural in your life. So when God says to me, start a church, where, God? In your house. 27 people show up, 25 of them we didn't know. This is not in nice, friendly Midwest. This is in crazy Vegas. No, 25 people, come on, ladies. 25 strangers coming into your home. I said, Wendy, hide the silverware. Bring out, come on, the paper plates. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. No. And I'm saying, God, okay, really? What backing do I have? I don't have a denomination. Don't have any money. Okay, God. Now, if God would have showed me thousands of people and showed me a building, and showed me the new building we're closing in on, a 92,000 square foot building in the middle of Las Vegas that we're buying and retrofitting with an 1,800 seat auditorium to reach thousands and thousands of more people. Now, if you would have showed me all of that, of course I'll start a church. Absolutely, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Wendy, we're going to start a church, and look what it's going to look like. Isn't this wonderful, Wendy? See, that's what we want, but that's not the way God operates. God wants you to get out so far that he wants you to continue, come on, to trust him despite all that you see, come on, all that you feel, all that is saying no, 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 and God is saying, come on, somebody, yes, yes, yes. We got to be men and women, come on, that begin to walk by trusting in God. Sight is not ignoring reality, but recognizing there's a greater one. Our human perception is only one perception. The natural is real, but it is limited. There is another realm that is greater. So we walk by, come on, help me, walk by faith and not by sight. I used to preach that the opposite of faith was fear. But that is not biblical. The opposite of faith is sight. And then when you walk by sight, fear comes in. In fact, biblically speaking, the opposite of fear is love, because perfect love casts out all fear. So it's interesting, the enemy wants to throw up stuff, and he wants you to see stuff, and he wants you to see a big old giant. And Saul says, you cannot kill him, David, because he's a warrior since his youth, but you're not a warrior. Look at how big he is. Look at how bad he is. And let me just help you out, some Bible scholars, and I challenge people to study this. Nowhere in the scripture does it teach that Goliath ever killed anybody. He never killed nobody. You can't find it. You want to know why? Because everybody, as soon as he opened up his mouth, ran in fear. You see, some of the things that look so big and so daunting to you aren't really as big and daunting as they appear. One young man named David, who's been hanging out with Jesus, hanging out with God, So, I get it. Yeah, I know he's big. I know he's talking a lot. That's how the devil is. He's all mouth. He's all threatenings. And he's like, I killed the lion, I killed the bear. Same God was with me. Come on, same God was with me in the hood, in the ghetto. It's the same God that's with me. And I'm going to take down that giant also. You see, because we overestimate the enemy and underestimate our God. See, I grew up with this saying. If you ever heard this saying? Well, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Has anybody ever heard that saying? What a dumb saying. Let's just break it down a second. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. That's so dumb. Since when do we put ourselves in the equation to make it be settled? God said it. It's settled. Listen, let me say it to you this way. People say, "Well, if I don't believe the word, or if I believe the word, you know, it doesn't make it true." No, God's word is true whether you believe it or not. You can be an atheist here, and God's word is true. We welcome atheists here. If you're agnostic, welcome. If you're Hindu, Muslim, whatever your background is, you don't have to believe to belong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we have to understand, it doesn't matter what you believe, the word of God is true whether you believe it or not. But what happens when you believe it, it doesn't become true, it becomes transformational. Oh, God help me. It becomes transformational. So when I begin to believe what God has said, and by faith I take that, it doesn't become true, it becomes transformational. Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God in your life. And so I must understand that if I'm going to be a man or woman that begins to walk by faith and not by sight, I must trust in what I don't see and trust what God says is greater than what I see. Trust that God's word is true, and when I believe, watch me, the truth of God's word, it becomes transformational. It begins to transform my life. Come on, from the inside out. But if we're going to have this faith, this unshakable faith, if we're going to be able to walk by faith and not by sight, faith must rest on two principles. Write these down, and I'm almost done. Two principles. Number one, write this first one down. You must believe that God is with you. Very simple, but profound. You must believe, number one, that God is with you. In the book of Joshua, we can pick it up in chapter 1. And Joshua, now, if you know the Bible, Joshua took over for a leader named Mo. Somebody say Mo. Yeah. So Mo was a bad dude. He was a great leader, right? I mean, Mo had a stick, and anytime he took that stick, he touched the water, the river Nile, with that stick. Come on, it turned to blood. That was a bad stick, man. He took that stick, and he threw it down, turned to a snake. Two other magicians, Pharaoh's court, threw down their snakes. Come on, it's a gang fight. Yeah. And the one snake, Moses' stick that turned into a snake, ended up killing, come on, and swallowing two other snakes. I mean, that stick was an amazing stick. He'd wave it and flies would come. He'd wave it and frogs would come. I mean, that stick, he touched the water, rock, and water came out of the rock. I mean, that stick was a bad stick. It was an awesome stick. Right? So now what happens, though, is that the Bible says that Moses led them out of Egypt, but could not lead them into the promised land. And so now God comes to a guy named Joshua, and he says, hey, Joshua, as I was with Joshua chapter 1, verses like 5 and 9. As I was with Moses, come on, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, come on, not forsake you. And then he says it again, I think in verse 9. He says, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is what? Is what? Come on, with you wherever you. Now that's cool. So what is God saying? God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, watch, my presence is with you. Now, that's all good. If I'm Joshua, I'm like, that's all good, God. Got it. But where's the stick? Because the people knew when Moses had the stick. And if I have the stick, God, I mean, the people are going to follow me because I have the stick, and I can wave the stick, and water's going to come out of rock, and I want the stick. But God did not give him the stick. Now, here's the reason why. Because we get infatuated with who God uses and what God uses rather than understanding it's God's presence on the who and the what. God began to say to him and say to us, it's my presence. I am with you. And your faith will grow stronger when you realize, come on, somebody, that God is with you. I have three kids. My oldest one is 17. His name is BJ. He's a mini-me, except with hair that's darker. I have a 13-year-old daughter named Bella. She looks like she's like 20. It's terrible. I hate boys. I hate guys right now. And then I have a 10-year-old son. His name is Benaiah. Yes, we got the B thing going. We even had two dogs, Bathsheba and Benedict. Come on now. And my wife's name is Wendy. We want to change it to Bendy. Come on, help me. She doesn't want to go that way. So I'm a parent right now. So I have a high schooler, eighth grader, middle schooler, and a elementary school kid, okay? And I'm trying to become a better parent, but I had a bad parenting moment. Has anybody ever had a bad parenting moment? First of all, who's parents here? Who has kids? Raise your hand. Do you got kids? Okay, now, keep your hand up. Okay. Okay, I'm just surveying. Okay, put your hand down. Okay, let me just try this again. Okay, has anybody ever had one time in your life a bad parenting moment? Can I see your hand? Okay, good, because I thought Jesus was here for a second, because it's like perfection all the time, right? So my bad parenting moment was, I just came back from a trip, and I was a little tired, you know, and we have our church, and we have this, and I come home, and it's bedtime, and I hear our kids, you're yelling, you know, on the next floor up, the second story, second floor, and I walk up there, and I go, what's going on, you know, and they go, Dad, the older brother, older sister, saying, Dad, we're tired of Benaiah wanting to sleep with us. We don't want him to sleep with us anymore. He's asleep in his own room. And I said, Benaiah, why don't you want to sleep in your own room? He goes, because, Dad, I'm afraid of the dark. And I look down the hallway where his room is, and it's like the Shekinah glory is coming from there. I mean, he's got every light on. He's got like the can lights on. He's got the lamp light on. Come on, he's got his night light on. He's got his bathroom light on. He's got his closet light on. I mean, you could suntan in that room. It is so bright. I'm not exaggerating, right? I said, Benaiah, he goes, Dad, I'm scared. I said, Benaiah, go to your room. I got possessed, right? My eyes pop out. Go to your room. No. I'll give you a timeout. That was a little side note. I still preach at youth conferences. It's crazy. I might still preach at youth conferences. Thousands of kids and one kid. What do you need prayer for? I'm so mad at my parents. My parents gave me a timeout. They took away my PS4, took away my Xbox, and they gave me a timeout. And I said, shut up. I said, young man, I came from an era that we didn't have timeouts. We had knockouts. That's all I'm telling you right now. I still have a little bit of issues with that knockout. Go to your room, Benaiah. He's going down. Long hallway, big house. Long hallway. And so I go into my room. My wife is there, and she's looking at me like, don't sleep here tonight. You are mean to my son. Come on, somebody. It's not our son now. It's my son. She just gave me that look. I'm like, I don't want to fight with you either. So I grab my pillow. True story. Grab my comforter. And I start going into exile. I mean, going down the hallway. And so I go down the hallway. And I come to the door of my Benaiah's bedroom door. And he has bunk beds, and he's bought a buck. And he goes, "Dad, Dad." I said, "I come in peace, son. I come in peace." He goes, "Dad, what are you doing?" I say, "But now I'm going to sleep with you in your room tonight." He says, "What? I'm going to sleep in your room tonight." "Really, Dad?" Now, I want him to think I'm such a great dad. That's why I'm sleeping with him. Come on, you don't have to tell your kids everything. I go, "Yeah, but first we got to change up this, like, suntanning booth." I start turning all the lights off. Turn all the lights off. "Dad, turn all the lights off. Turn all the lights off. Turn the lights off. Turn the lights off." I turn all the lights off. And he goes, "Dad, are you going to sleep here?" I said, "Yeah." And I start crawling up into that top bunk bed. I lie on that mattress. Now I wonder, now I know why my wife said, "Don't buy the cheap mattresses." I'm laying there, and he goes, "Dad, are you there?" I'm like, "Where else would I be? I'm here." He couldn't see me, but he could hear me. He couldn't see me, but he could hear me. He couldn't see me, but he could hear me. He says, "Dad, how long are you going to be in this room? How long are you going to sleep here for?" "I don't know. We'll see." "Okay, Dad." 10 minutes kind of pass. "You're still there?" I said, "I'm here. Go to sleep." About 30 minutes later, I know he's sleeping. And now Mission Impossible starts. How do I get out of that room without waking him up? I start moving. Everything's squeaking. The concrete floor is squeaking. Come on, you know it's bad. This is a true story. I finally, after like 20 minutes, make it off the bunk bed. And I'm like halfway out of his room. And all of a sudden, I hit something. And he like gets startled. And he looks and I'm ninja pose. He ends up sleeping through the whole night. Let me ask you a question. What changed? Can I tell you something? The circumstances didn't change. The circumstances actually got worse. It got darker in his room. What changed? What changed was his father was with him. The only thing that changed, come on, Eternity Church, is that his father, come on, somebody, was with him. Somebody come back to the keyboards. His father was with him. You see, we want the circumstances to change. We want things to get better, and then we'll feel better. But I'm here to tell you, it could get darker. It may get nastier. But you must understand, come on, like Joshua, that your God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Come on, if you believe it, give God a big hand clap right now. Come on, Eternity Church. Not only must you rest your faith, come on the pillar that God is with you, but the last point is you must rest your faith on this, come on, that God is for you. Amen. See, a lot of people believe God is with me, but I don't believe God is for me. We believe that God is for us as long as our behavior lines up. But Pastor already said, we have not been made right with God because of our behavior, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the grace of God, I now stand righteous, not based on my merit, not based on my ability, but based on what Christ accomplished on the cross over 2,000 years ago. And now, I'm not going to be holy, I am holy. I'm not going to be righteous, come on, I am righteous. Listen, I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. That's what the Bible declares. I am a saint. I was a sinner, but now I've been saved, and I'm a saint who sometimes sins. Paul was writing to a crazy church called the Corinthian church. They were doing crazy stuff. It was like Vegas church. No, like crazy stuff. Like somebody sleeping with his stepmom. That's crazy. That's like Real Housewives stuff. Come on now. Oh, you didn't see the last Real Housewives of Des Moines is coming out soon. Woo! What's gonna happen? I don't know. It's cornfield somewhere. I don't know what's gonna happen. And you know what Paul writes? Look at 1 Corinthians to the saints who are at Corinth. They're not acting saintly. Can I tell you something? We always want behavior modification, but right believing leads to right living. If you change your thinking by the Word of God, come on, your behavior is going to begin to line up in your life. So watch. You got to believe that God is for you. Let me finish with the story of my son, Benaiah. Benaiah plays basketball. Making sure he's not around. He's not that good. I'm sorry, you got your mommy's genes, not mine. I'm sorry. So he's a defensive specialist. That's code for he can't score. Come on, you got to raise your kids, right? You know what I'm saying? He's like, Benaiah, you're a defensive specialist. They're going to put you on the best player. You're going to shut him down because your daddy's going to show you how to cheat without being caught by the ref. That's how I'm going to do it. So I teach him old school, like, get close and you grab the jersey and you get close and you pull the jersey. I said, just step on their all kinds of crazy stuff that you don't even know about. Come on, man. I've been playing basketball a long time. I can still play today. It's pretty amazing. I'll snap your ankles. My friend Steph Curry actually got some of my old VHS tapes and learned all those. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Don't even know. So watch. I go see my son's game. This took place a few months ago. And he doesn't get the ball much, and so I just keep encouraging him, son. It's okay, son. How you're going to get the ball is you rebound. Okay, that's how you get the ball. You got to crash the board, son. You got to, get, land, clear out. So it's the end of the game, and my son goes up, and he gets the rebound. My son is like the smallest kid on the court, right? He elevates 2 inches off the ground, and he grabs the ball. Hey, it was only an inch before. He's doubled his vertical leap. Come on now. It's all your perspective. You thought 2 inches. 2 inches. Yeah, but he had one. Now it's two. It's 100%. That's my boy. I'm funny. I don't care what you say. Watch this now. And he jumps. It's beautiful. Can I jump on the platform? I don't want to mess it up. He jumps. He comes down. Clears out. Yeah! And then all of a sudden he takes the ball. Yeah, I love, look at, I had stereo over there. And he takes the ball, and all of a sudden he goes, I'm like, no! Want to pull up my Glock? Pop, 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 pop. Shoot the ball. Then I'm going to be arrested. You know, it's like, so I'm praying in tongues, don't let the ball go in, no. I mean, it's like, we practice, me and my son, we go to the basketball court, and we practice, and man, it's perfect. I mean, he shot it, perfect follow through, everything perfect arc, and I saw it. I've been playing basketball a long time, I saw it. I'm like, oh dear God, it's too perfect. It's not even gonna hit the rim. This is a swisher, I mean, it's all net, baby. And man, it goes like this, and it's like, and it swish. In the wrong basket. The place goes crazy. They start laughing at my son. The opposite coaches start laughing at my son. The opposing team is laughing at my son. And my son is paralyzed on the court. And my wife grabs my knee. Now, when a wife grabs her husband's knee, that is, don't do it. Right? But when a husband grabs a wife's knee, it's, no, I was ready to say, let's do it, but I'm not in Vegas, so I'm sorry. Sorry, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I'm sorry. Sorry, that's why you should put your kids in kids ministry, because they're going to hear things they shouldn't hear yet. She grabs my knee, and she's looking at me like, don't do it. And I'm like, so I got to wait for the ref, to do it. They kind of, the teams kind of high-five. They're laughing at my son. He's crying on the court. And as soon as I could, and I knew, I run on the court. And I said, Benaiah, look at me. Look at me. Dad. I shot at Dad. They're laughing at me. Dad. I said, son, look at me. I said, beautiful rebound. Man, great form in your shot. Nothing but net. Woo. The only thing we have to work on is getting into the right basket. He's crying. I said, look at me. And these words changed my life. I said, look at me. I didn't rehearse this. It just came out. I said, your dad is for you. Even in your failure. Because we think God is only for us when we have it together. I know it's kind of bothering you because I came off the stage. Yeah, my eyes are big. Yes, they are. And I know you, why at your age are you wearing skinny jeans? Because you can. Because if you have legs like a woman, you'd show them off too. I'm just saying. You know, I hear some, my husband's arms and his shoulders, and my wife married me for my legs. You got to work what you got, brother. See, we think God says, I'm for you when you got it together. I'm for you when you're perfect. I'm for you when you're just doing everything you're supposed to do. And that's what the enemy says. Oh, of course it's God. No, but God is for you in your failure. He's for you when life is not good. He's for you when you've blown it. He's for you when you don't feel good. He's for you no matter what's going on. Our God is for us.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.